Thanks for tuning in to this Control Risks podcast. I'm Julia Livick. The last few years in Brazil have seen a major economic recession, high-profile corruption scandals, the impeachment of a president, and unprecedented public protests. Now, as the economy slowly recovers, the country is gearing up for the final round of one of its most unpredictable elections in recent history. Brazilian voters head to the polls this Sunday, October 28th. I'm joined today by Tomás Fabro, Control Risk's lead political analyst for Brazil and the Southern Cone. He's based in Sao Paulo. Tomás, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for the invitation, Julia.
So, Tomás, the second round runoff between candidate Jair Bolsonaro and Fernando Haddad has been highly polarized. For those not following Brazilian politics, could you give us a brief look into who the two candidates for president are?
Sure. Fernando Haddad, he's the candidate of the leftist Workers' Party, which was the party that ruled Brazil between 2003 and 2016, and was ousted in the impeachment proceeding against former President Dilma Rousseff. Haddad was a minister in Rousseff's cabinet, and he's also the former mayor of São Paulo City. He has campaigned on a leftist platform, promising increased social spending, which were to be financed by rising taxes on the rich. Haddad has also tried to piggyback on the popularity of Lula, the former president who is currently in jail, but remains a popular figure in Brazil. Meanwhile, Jair Bolsonaro is a seven-term congressman from Rio de Janeiro state. He comes from a very small party, the PSL, which currently has only seven deputies in the lower house, which has over 500 members. Bolsonaro has campaigned on a far-right platform that includes economic liberalization, as well as a tough stance on both crime and corruption. Bolsonaro won 46% of the votes in the first round, which was held on October 7th, whereas Haddad secured 29% of the votes.
Okay, and Bolsonaro seems to have built a solid advantage continuing on from that first round, according to the polls. Is he the real favorite?
Bolsonaro has been the front runner in the polls for months now. His chances of actually securing the presidency have increased substantially. He has positioned himself as a new face in Brazilian politics, which is a catchy proposition for a substantial part of the electorate, which mistrusts mainstream political parties, particularly in the aftermath of the car wash scandal and the many ongoing anti-corruption probes in the country.
Right.
But in reality, this runoff election is less about who people want in office, but actually more about who voters don't want to see in the presidency. Bolsonaro built his campaign as the NTPT candidate, opposing the leftist party, which ruled Brazil, as I mentioned, between 2003 and 2016, and whose reputation has been severely tainted by corruption scandals, as well as a major economic recession. Bolsonaro has certainly created a support base of his own, you know, with his strong anti-establishment rhetoric, his pro-business stance, as well as conservative views regarding social issues such as abortion and gay rights. But his wide advantage in the second round runoff is actually partially explained by the fact that NTPT sentiment runs deep among a sizable part of the electorate.
Right. So we're seeing now the effects of the major corruption scandals that we had covered last year and in the years prior.
Yes. In many ways, a vote for Bolsonaro is an anti-establishment vote, or a vote against those who mistrust mainstream political parties, even though Bolsonaro has been a deputy for for seven terms now. He has always been relatively minor figure in Congress, and he has promised two voters a new way of doing politics, away from the pork barreling tactics that have been so widely exposed in many of these anti-corruption investigations.
So, Tomás, given what seems to be the success of this sort of anti-establishment movement and the lead that Bolsonaro currently has in the polls, does Haddad still have a chance to come back on Sunday? Who's going to win the election?
since the beginning of the second round, we have seen Haddad moderating his stance in order to appeal to more centrist voters. So he dropped the idea of setting up an assembly to rewrite the constitution, and he has also made some mild criticisms against PT party members which were involved in corruption scandals in the past. But in many ways, for a substantial part of the electorate, that is too little, too late. Haddad's rejection rate has actually increased during the second round and now stands at above 50%, actually 54% according to the latest poll. And at this stage, it will really take a major event, a political earthquake, for him to overcome his opponent ahead of the Sunday vote.
I'm also curious about Congress.
Yes.
So they had the legislative election on October 7th. So can you tell us a bit about how that played out in terms of who is now in the majority of the Brazilian Congress? And then how does this play into the final round of the presidential election? You know, what can we expect in terms of the relationship between the new Congress and the executive power going forward?
So there are 30 political parties in Congress.
Okay.
The largest caucus has 56, so like just over 10%, and that's the PT actually.
Okay.
But the biggest, the surprise result was actually Bolsonaro's party. It's a very small party called PSL, and the PSL. Last elections, they elected one deputy. This election, they elected 52 deputies.
Okay.
This was way above, way more than even their most optimistic scenario.
Wow, okay.
So this strong performance in the congressional elections has partially offset concerns about potential governability challenges for Bolsonaro. It is now clear that his party would be able to attract other political groups to its orbit of influence if it were to be elected. Not everything will be plain sailing, though, firstly, because whoever wins the presidency will have to put forward an austerity agenda to rebalance public finances, and initiatives such as pension and tax reform are likely to be met with a stiff opposition, both in Congress and in the streets. And lastly, Brazil has one of the most fragmented legislatives globally, and that situation actually got worse with the legislative elections, so that when the new Congress take office, there will be 30 political parties represented in the lower house. So the new Congress will require strong negotiation skills from the new president.
Let's turn to the business environment.
Yeah.
What is going to be the impact of the election on Sunday? What can businesses operating and investing in Brazil expect moving forward?
So Contreras does anticipate the business environment to improve moderately in the upcoming years, because this new administration will come in with a strong mandate to rebalance public finances, to simplify the tax system, and to really improve the overall operating environment for companies. The agenda for tax simplification, for example, more precisely the unification of taxes on consumption in a VAT type model, was actually shared among several presidential candidates, which just suggests that there is an underlying consensus around the need for such reforms to take place. But with so many question marks still pending over the next government, how well integrated the economic team will be with the president and with the ruling party, and how they will work with other forces in Congress, does suggest that a dose of caution seems healthy at this stage.
All right. Thanks so much, Tomas. And we will certainly be following up with you after the vote on Sunday.
Thank you very much, Julia.
And thanks to you, our listeners. To hear more from our experts on the ground in Brazil and across Latin America in this pivotal election year, please visit us at www.controlrisks.com/LATAMRisk2018.